Sai Ram, dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang by brothers Prem and Sai Prakash. It's now time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live. And this is Ganesh inviting you all to yet another episode of the Veda Jignasa program.
Dear listeners, today as a part of the Veda Jignasa program, we have a special talk for you.
As a part of today's Veda Jignasa program, you will listen to a talk delivered by Dr. Anil Kumar Krithiventi, a former alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and who served as a faculty member of the Chemistry Department of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. He delivered this talk as a part of the Veda Poshana program conducted by the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Karnataka.
We shall commence today's episode with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram. Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavinkavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvannotibhissidasadanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So invoking Bhagwan's divine presence and blessings, and with the thought that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration.
So without any further delay, over to Sri Dr. Anil Kumar on the significance and efficacy of the Vedas.
Om Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Kartigrama Samudbhutam Prashanti Nilayavasinam Bhaktadhishtapradam Devam Sainatham Namamyaham. Namas Sabhabhyas Sabhavatibhyas Chavo Namaha. With prayerful pranams at the lotus feet of our dear mother, respected elders, brothers and sisters, seeing the galaxy of eminent people here and my own guru who taught me Sanskrit as well as Mahanarayana Upanishad and not part of Vedam, and also my another guru who taught me Rudram itself, of which I am going to share some thoughts with you all, Dr. Shivashankar Sai, and lots of other suttams which Dr. Shivakumar taught me, and I have to stand in front of all these and then speak to you all about Rudram. So it makes me nervous, and that's the reason why I quickly this morning, immediately the minute I saw them, I thought I should start with one very nice slokam written by Adi Shankara, addressed to mother, and this is my state right now, Swami. Na janami danam na cha dhyana yogam na janami tantram na cha stotra mantram na janami pujam na cha nyasa yogam gatistvam 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 twameva bhavani. Only Swami has to speak through me. What I will be doing in the next few moments and the opportunity that have been given to me is to share some of the thoughts. That's why I had put this thing as recapitulation of some lessons that Lord imparted when we were chanting at His feet. Some thoughts used to come to me and I just put them together, worked them over the years, and few of those I'll share with you. But before I start, I thought we should all understand the importance of Vedam from Swami's own words. So I'll just, though it is a little long, I'll just read this through. The Vedic literature is the most ancient in the world. It's a treasure house of wisdom. It has contributed to all-round development of man. The Veda is the first ever book in human history. It is the birthplace of human culture and basis for all kinds of powers. All branches of learning have their origin in Veda. All dharmas and virtues have sprung from Veda. The Veda is endless, unfathomable, indefinable, and blissful. The word Veda is derived from the Sanskrit root vid, meaning knowledge of jnana. Ishvara jnana, Atma jnana, Ved, Brahma jnana, Advaita jnana is Veda. Veda is vijnana. All these terms are synonyms of self-knowledge or Atma jnana. The divinity of Vedas is all-pervasive and has eight aspects of splendor. Shabda Brahmamayi, Characharamayi, Jyotirmayi, Vangmayi, Nityanandamayi, Parakparamayi, Mayamayi, Shrimayi. There is indeed the Vijnanam Brahma that is constant integrated awareness. It does not pertain to one individual, one place or time. It is universal. So with this background, first and foremost I wanted to understand this, because this was a question which number of times used to occur to my mind, after number of people used to also ask, even now they ask, should we know the meaning of Vedam before chanting Vedam? And my understanding or my thoughts about it is what this is. See, Veda is above Jaya. That means there's only a mantra drashta, but there's no mantra karta. Nobody has written it. It is a vibration which is existing in the universe, and when an aspirant, whom we call as a rishi, reaches that state of consciousness, he or she listens to this vibration and that is captured as mantra. And therefore, what I understand is that the meaning is manifold. Every line of Veda you can get so much of meaning, and the meaning will be different for the same individual at different points of time. This is something that we have to understand. As we keep chanting it, as we keep trying to ruminate, we keep getting newer and newer and newer insights into the very same sentence. This is very critical. We have to understand this. And to make it more clear to all of you, I'll start with an anecdote. This happened in sometime, I think it was around 1999-2000. Swami used to beautifully, after the interview is over, in the evenings especially, is to come and sit on the veranda, which is now the Samadhi Mandir, and there was no railings also at that time, I remember, and all of us used to sit, and Swami used to just have a discussion, and one such discussion actually made this point extremely clear to me. There was a discussion on, Swami started that day on saying that one should be so satisfied and content with God, what God gives him, that he should not worry about someone else. There should be no comparison. Comparison itself is wrong. And Swami said, he meant very rhyming. If he has car, so what? I have kalu, means I have feet. If someone has a big mansion, so what? I have sky as my roof. So Swami went on saying, this is the kind of satisfaction, contentment that one should have based on what God gives him. Then Anil Kumar sir, sitting there, used to sit right close by, and fortunately for all of us, he used to be bold enough to pose lots of questions. He said, Swami, one doubt. If you say that we should never compare, if you say that we should be totally satisfied with what God gives us, then how can there be progress, Swami? It is because India feels, he gave an example of country very nicely, he said, it's because India compares with America and says America is developed and therefore we need to develop. There is progress. How can there be progress without comparison, Swami? Actually speaking, a very, very sound question, right? And Swami instantaneously, that is the answer Swami gave. I captured it there. I was so thrilled by this answer, I immediately wrote it down in my, at that time I was having my chemistry book preparing for next day's class, that was all, it was already there on my lap in the mandir. So I wrote it in that itself. Swami said in Telugu, what is real progress? రియల్ ప్రోగ్రెస్ లేనిది పొందటము కాదు, ఉన్నది పెంచుకోవటము. యాక్చువల్లీ ఐ విల్ సే దిస్ ఇస్ వేదం. దిస్ ఇస్ ఎ వర్డ్ విచ్ హ్యాస్ మల్టిపుల్ మీనింగ్స్. ది రీజన్ ఈస్ ఫాలోయింగ్ దట్ నెక్స్ట్ మంత్ అల్మాస్టర్ ఇస్ టు క్యాప్చర్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ యాజ్ కాంతి కిరణాలు ఇన్ సనాతన్ సారథి. He captured this composition and he gave the meaning to, he didn't quote this sentence. See, this is what happens with missing out Bhagavan's actual statements. He wrote his interpretation of this. Swami gave a beautiful explanation. Swami said the goodness or the strength that we have within us, we should grow that. That is real progress. Not all the time running after something that is not there with us. But that is one level of meaning. There could be another level. The meaning that I got at that point of time is Unnati is real Atma. And really knowing your Atma is real progress. All the time, if you go anywhere outside of yourself, outside of Atma, it's never a progress. So that's another level of interpretation. That interpretation I got, Alipmasar got another interpretation. If you follow this statement, you will get another interpretation, I'm sure. So Veda is like that, where every statement that, in fact, every word of Swami's was like that. If every time we look at our diary, where we have captured Swami's words as they are, each time we go through it, we get a different connotation, different meaning. The reason is the God's words, God's breath, Veda, which is Apaurusheya, which is exactly God's word, is full of multiple meanings, and Sanskrit added to that is such a wonderful language. It can be split in multiple ways. Same statement can be split in multiple ways. Same word has got multiple meanings. So we have to put effort to learn meaning. We should not be feeling that the meaning that we have understood is the only meaning. That mistake we should never do. There are multiple meanings we should understand, and as we put more and more effort, we'll get to know more and more of this meaning. Just to give you one example before I move on to Rudram. In fact, this was my, we used to chant Anandavalli very often near Bhagwan. And first time when I used to chant this, I used to feel this is not logical. Atmana akashas sambhuta akashat vayu వాయోరగ్ని అగ్నేరాపః అద్య పృథివీ పృథివ్యా ఓషధయః ఓషధీభ్యోన్నం అన్నాత్ పురుషః. హౌ కెన్ వాటర్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఫైర్? వేర్ దేర్ ఇస్ ఫైర్, వాటర్ ఇవాపరేట్స్. వాట్ దిస్ స్టేట్స్ ఈస్ వాటర్ హెస్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఫైర్. ఆకాశ హెస్ గివెన్ రైట్స్ టు వాయు, వాయు గివ్ రైస్ టు ఫైర్, ఫైర్ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ రైస్ టు వాటర్, వాటర్ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ రైస్ టు పృథ్వీ, పృథ్వీ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ రైస్ టు ఓషధి ఆర్ ప్లాంట్స్, ప్లాంట్ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ రైస్ టు అన్న ఆర్ ఫుడ్, ఫుడ్ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ రైస్ టు మ్యాన్ ఆర్ లైఫ్ ఫార్మ్స్. సో ఐస్ టు ఫీల్ దట్ సంథింగ్ ఆడ్, సంథింగ్ ఆడ్. హౌ కెన్ దిస్ ఆర్ కాంట్రరీ టు దట్ ఎక్స్టెంట్? ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్స్ ఎ బిగ్ విండ్ బ్లోస్ వెన్ ద ఫైర్ ఇస్ దేర్, సో హౌ కెన్ విండ్ గివ్ రైస్ టు ఫైర్? So there was some, I was not getting the logic behind it. Then having tried to put, kept thinking more and more of this, this is the beautiful understanding. It's completely scientific. The understanding that I could get, I'll quickly try to go through this. Atma can be correlated to unmoving still energy. In fact, once Swami told him, this was also a very unusual experience. Swami suddenly called inside bhajan interview room just before bhajan started. And as Swami was getting up and coming out, Omkaram was starting in the bhajan hall. So Swami looked at me and said, do you know what is Parabrahma? Where is Parabrahma? And then Swami said, with the nishabdam or the silence between two omkaras is Parabrahma. He opened the door and walked out. I walked out this side. fully dazzled by this, but then it means, so Omkaram is, if you see the connotation for each of them, Akasha connotation is Shabda. Shabda means vibration. Right, so unvibrating still energy is Atma. Vibrating energy becomes Akasha. And when this energy continues to vibrate extensively, huge amounts of energy, they start forming quantums of packets of energy, which we call as mass. If mass forms, there is pressure. Mass per unit volume is pressure. Sparsha is nothing but pressure. So, if an attribute of sparsha is added to shabda, it now becomes vayu. So naturally vayu has come from akasha. And this vibrating mass, when they collide with each other, there will be excitation and emission, which is what is rupa, another attribute added. And as rupa is added, the same vayu, we no longer call it only vayu, we call it as agni, because it has three attributes now. And when these vibrating, exciting, emitting molecule atoms start combining together to form molecules, we call it as apa. The reason is, the two attributes in the five senses that we have, the touch, apart from the touch, look and the hearing, the taste and the smell are called as chemical senses. Rasa and gandha happen because of molecular interaction. So to convey that molecules have started forming, the attribute that is given is rasa has added, got added to agni. And therefore naturally a vibrating atoms start forming together to form molecules, which we call as apaha. And when these molecules solidify to solid state, we call it as prithvi. So it's such a logical, natural formation of one after the other. There is absolutely no doubt that this cannot happen. One leads to another without any, it naturally will happen. And in fact, just to recount what Swami had said, and Swami used this attributes to show how God is all pervasive. Swami said, each time one attribute is added, it's becoming grosser and grosser and grosser. Earth, which has five attributes, Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, is the most grossest. Water has only four, it is far more spreading. Fire, it has only three, it is latent heat is there everywhere in the earth. Vayu, which has only two, is everywhere, right? Akasha, which has only one attribute, is the most pervasive. You remove even that attribute, it is naturally omnipresent. Therefore, God or Atman, Paramatman, because he is attributeless, naturally he is all pervasive. So, I mean, use this thing to beautifully explain how. So, there is so much, and this also revealed one more small insight to me, that the vibration that we talk of for Omkaram is actually not the sound that we understand at this level. The reason is, the sound that you are now hearing to me needs a medium. Without a medium, sound can't be traveling. But that vibration, that Omkaram sound, does not need a medium. It's a very different vibration. There is no medium, because when Akasha's attribute is Omkaram, and when Omkaram came, there was no medium. But this vibration is still existing. This is that Veda or the mantra that is all the time there in the universe, which does not require any medium. So chanting of Veda, my understanding, small understanding is a way to reach to that vibration through this vibration. We keep chanting, maybe we will go to a state where we'll be able to listen to that sound, which does not require a medium. In fact, Swami, in one of his discourses, said, as a spiritual aspirant progresses, inside you listen to varieties of sounds. The flowing of, in fact, Kriya Yoga also talks about this, flowing of sound, water flowing sound, sound of a flute, sound of a peacock's cawing, all these are heard within. So there are sounds within which do not require a medium, and reaching that is possible through continuously chanting Veda. That is the reason why Veda is for spiritual progress too. And Veda also has lot of beautiful insights for us. Some of the things which have captured my mind, two of them I have just captured here. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there's a beautiful statement, Vidyadvai Bhayam Bhavati. If you see a book of psychology, there's so much written on fear, fear psychosis, cause of fear and so on. Where in Veda, with one word, Ved Mata has given the solution. If there is a second, there is fear. So if you want to get out of second, do what? See God everywhere. Automatically you reach a state of Abhaya. If you see your own Swami everywhere, there won't be any fear anymore. Because you are seeing oneness everywhere. As long as you see a separateness, there is fear. That's a good. See, the analysis is so beautiful in Vedas. Everywhere we find this. Similarly, another statement is from Mahanarayana Upanishad. Yāvirājyasthavatiraśmivirthāvipajjanyovarśati pajjanyenaushadivanaspatayah prajāyanta aushadivanaspatibhiranyam bhavatyanyena prāṇāha prāṇayet balam palena tapastapasāśraddhāśraddhayāmedhāmedhayāmanīśa manīśayāmanomanaśāśāntiśyāntyācittamcitteraspratikraspratyāsvāratvasmārenavijñānambijñānenātmānambvedayati. This sequence, if you really go through it, is so beautiful, so logical. I'll quickly go through this. The sun rays give rise to rains. Rains give rise to plants. Plants give rise to food. Food in turn gives rise to energy, physical energy. Physical energy allows us to do tapas. Tapas is concentrated activity. Tapas leads to Shraddha or faith in scriptural truths. This Shraddha leads us to mental power. This mental power leads us to sense control. Sense control leads us to reflection. Reflection then leads us to Shanti or stillness of mind. This Shanti leads us to experience the truth within. And this truth leads us to remembrance. Constant remembrance leads us to moksha or vijnana or atmajnana. How logical is Veda? This critical, granular way of explanation can you ever get anywhere else outside? So this is the beauty of Veda. I'll move on just to give, having given a flavor of how at every, whatever thing that we pick up in Vedam, there is so much involved. I'll move on to Rudram specifically now. Before I start on Rudram itself and what I have understood of its inner significance, we have to understand Chamakam Namakam Chaiva Purusha Suktam Tathayata Nityam Trayam Prayanjano Brahma Loke Mahiyate. In fact, this is what Swami has made every one of us do, especially in Bhakti itself, routine now, Rudram, Chamakam and Purusha Suktam. These three have to be chanted, and if these three are chanted, this is the royal road, right royal road to Brahmaloka or Sayujya. Rudram is so powerful. Just to recall, every time we used to be chanting, 2003 onwards, this chanting of Vedam during Swami's darshan time, till bhajans used to commence, it used to go on, continuous chanting. And at that time there was no specific way of sequence. Means it was not that Monday we'll chant this mantra, Tuesday it was this mantra. It wasn't like that because we never knew how long Swami used to be sitting outside or inside, right? So we used to continuously keep chanting. And whenever Swami is passing by, if we wanted Swami to stay on the stage and listen to Vedam, we'll quickly move past whichever mantra we are chanting, close it quickly, move to Rudram. He'll get stuck to the stage. This was the attraction Bhagwan had for Rudram. Every time this was chanted, and many times out the mantras that Swami asked us to chant, Namakam, it was a common, most common, Shri Suktam, Purusha Suktam, Mantra Pushpam. These were the things Swami used to tell. The other things may be because they are simple to encourage us, or there is a lot of significance for them too. But Rudram Namakam Swami was so, it was like a magnet for the Lord Himself. We start chanting this, you can be sure, wherever you chant, Swami will come and listen to it. That is the power of Rudram, and therefore, and Rudram is also a community prayer. This is something I want all of us to understand. In fact, chanting of Vedam is not sadhana alone, it is seva. The reason is last but penultimate anuvaka of Rudram. Drape andasaspyate yadarindra neela lohita. When we chant that, it is fully prayer for the community. In fact, that statement, yatha nashyama sadvipade chatushpade vishvam pushtam grame asmin anaturam. It's a prayer for local community. It's a prayer that everyone, the two-legged and the four-legged, are safe in our community. In fact, I call it as anti-terrorist prayer. Rudram is an anti-terrorist prayer. If you do not want a terrorist attack to our community or our city where we are living, Rudram is the answer for it. Rudram therefore has to be chanted because it's a prayer which protects not just us, it protects the whole community. Where there is a Rudram chanting going on, the community is saved. The reason is, Rudra is actually a progression of, see, every aspect in this universe has two things to it. This Swami used to tell very often, the Ghora and the Aghora aspect. Means, so the example Swami is to give is, you eat food in limited quantity, it is good for you. It is beneficial, it is Shiva. You eat the same food in unlimited quality, it is Rudra. It is dangerous. And therefore, this quality of, that is why in the Dhyana Slokam, Brahmanda Vyapta Deha Basita Himarucha, in that slokam we say, there are two forms to Lord, Rudra and Shiva, and both are needed. The Ghora and the Aghora aspects are two aspects of the Divine, and both are needed for running this universe. Both are there in every bit in this universe. And another example Swami gave in one of his discourses was, if there is a storm on the sea, there is rain on the land. If you don't have storm on the sea, you won't have rains on the land. So if there has to be Rudra for Shiva to happen. If Rudra doesn't exist, Shiva will not happen. That is the way the universe runs. And therefore, the prayer Rudram is to keep the Rudra aspect where it is supposed to be, away from the living community. And Shiva aspect towards the living community. And in fact, Rudram, as you keep chanting, you start from Rudra, and around that 8th Anuvaka, you get Shivatara. And on the last Anuvaka, you get Shivatama. Tara and Tama are like good, better and best. Right? So you are actually praying to the Lord, and by the end of Rudram, you make the Lord the most proficient for you and for your community. So Rudram therefore is a prayer of ensuring that all the good vibrations, all the good aspects of everything that we need, the whole community, the whole humankind needs for its existence, is made available to the humankind. And where the Rudra aspect has to exist in this planet, could be the seas, could be the forest, could be wherever, which we don't know, it has to be there. So this is a prayer, this is a prayer therefore for community. This is one thing that we have to understand. It's a very, therefore, very, very important prayer, especially in this present day. That is the reason why Swami made in, I think, 2008 or 2009, I don't remember the year, Swami made the then All India President, Mr. Srinivasan, to announce that every devotee should learn Rudram. The reason is, every devotee, the Rudram is absolutely essential for the present day world. With so much of negativity all around, it is only the Rudram which will save us and save our societies. there is still another very important significance of the very whole ritual of Rudrabhishekam. In fact, one question I had posed, why is it that Swami started Atirudra Mahayagam in 2006? He could have started this in 1940 when he announced that I have come for the devotees. In fact, this question of why Swami has started a particular activity during particular time in his mission throws a lot of inner meaning. Like 1940 Swami, when he announced, till 64 there was no Sevadal organization created. And if you read all Swami's early discourses, it was all bhajan namasankirtan, bhajan namasankirtan. This is to convey that namasankirtan or daiva priti or bhakti is the foundation for seva. So even before seva can be started, seva has to be rooted in the bhakti. And that is why first 20 years of Swami's mission was only namasankirtan. He used to go anywhere, there used to be, in fact in Pata Mandir, 3 hours morning there used to be bhajans and 3 hours in the evening there used to be bhajans. It was bhajans, bhajans and bhajans all along till 60s when Satyasai Seva organization came in. So similarly, Atirudram, therefore, when Swami started in 2006, the significance that I thought was Linga itself, Swami has told a number of discourses, because it doesn't have a beginning nor an end. It is the symbol which connects Sakara to Nirakara. It takes us from a Sakara Bhakti to a Nirakara Bhakti. So to tell us all, it is out of the infinite love, because he was moving on from a Sakara to a Nirakara, to convey that and to get us ready to that state, Swami started this in 2006. It is to connect, help us move from a Sakara worship, all the time worshipping a physical form, to a Nirakara Tattva through the Linga. So that first component of Rudrabhishekam, where Linga is used, that is, it is not that Swami is Shaivite or a Vaishnavite. There is no such, because some boys ask me this, why is it that Swami is doing more of Rudrabhishekam? The Rudrabhishekam does not have any connotation to Saivism. It is fundamentally that this Linga is the one which connects Sakara to Nirakara. First point. Second point is, we do Abhishekam with water. Main thing is water. Rudra Shiva is Abhishekam Priya Visev. Why water? Then this posed another question in my mind. When Swami talks so much about love, that everything in this universe is love, Vedamata never uses the word love. There is no word, use of word prema anywhere in Vedas. So I used to wonder, why is it that this thing doesn't feature? Why is it that Vedamata is not speaking about love? Then there was a beautiful revelation, understanding I got from Garga Bhagavatam. Garga Bhagavatam, Krishna and Radha, while having a conversation with Radha Mata, Krishna says, today I will take you out to show you something very unique, and takes Radha for a walk in the forest. There she see one Rishi by name Rubu Rishi, and Krishna says, he is the one who has maximum love for me. Even Gopikas do not have the love that Rubu Rishi has, and Rubu Rishi is lost in meditation. So Krishna and Radha go and stand in front of Rubu Rishi. Rubu Rishi is lost in meditation. So what Krishna does is, he disturbs his meditation from within. Rubu Rishi opens, sees Krishna and that too with Radha together. He is so thrilled. He does pradakshina, does stotram, and after some time Rubu Rishi is no longer there. Just not there. So Radha Mata gets completely bewildered. She asks Krishna, Krishna, what is this? You said such a great devotee. After seeing you, where has he gone? Then he says, look down. There they see a river flowing. Then Krishna says, out of his intense love for me, his sharira has got transformed into water. So that means what? Water is a symbol of intense divine love. And then Krishna goes on to explain, it is his immense love which got transformed into Ganga. And then gives these things that Lord Krishna gave rise to river Krishna, Vishnu gave rise to river Krishna, Lord Shiva gave rise to river Beni, Lord Brahma gave rise to river Kakutmini. And he's there, Krishna describes that anyone has intense divine love, the body gets converted into a river or a water and starts flowing. That means water is a symbol. And then if you move on to understand Mantra Pushpam from this, where we say, you see Mantra Pushpam, Yopam Pushpam Veda Pushpavan Prajavan Pashuman Bhavati. If you see the whole thing there, it says, if you understand that the source of sun is the water or the flower of water, you know everything in this universe. What does it mean? If you understand that the source of sun, the Agni, Vayu, sun, moon, nakshatra, parchanya, samvatsara, which is time, is water, here means divine love. So therefore, in a sense, I felt so thrilled seeing this. In fact, it has made me, and the reason why they function, in Anandavali it is given, Vishasmad Vatah Pavate Vishodeti Suryah Vishasmad Agnishten Rascha Mrityurdhavati Panchamaiti. They all are functioning because of fear. Then what is this fear? Again same Anandavali says, Yadakye Vaishake Tasmin Nudaram Antaram Kurute Adhatasya Bhayam Bhavati Antaram Kurute. For a short time if they are cut off from that love, there is fear that is created. And because of that fear that they might have the fear, they continue to function. Means in a sense what I suddenly felt so thrilled reading this or trying to understand, it is as though having lived with Swami, all of us having lived with Swami, we know what it is to function while loving God. It is as though sun, moon, stars, fire, everything that we see around, wind, are functioning like Kasturi Garu, Kutumb Rao, Chiranjee Rao, Chakravarti sir, or I would say even Sivashankar Sai, who was the warden. All the functioning was only for the sake of what? Where will we ever displease Swami? Where will Swami stay away from us? Will that love for their love for Swami and Swami's love for them, will that get cut off? And therefore they used to function. That means what? Even now in this universe, right from the air that we breathe in, we have to understand this Vayu is connected and it's functioning because it is connected to the love of Swami. They are functioning because they love Swami and they want Swami, and they are constantly experiencing that love of God. So the whole universe is love. Mantra Pushpam, what it tells us is that whole universe is love. Everything in this universe is functioning because of their love for the divine. So therefore, the whole universe is in a sense Prashantinalayam, functioning for the sake of the Lord. Right? So this, therefore, water we have to understand, which is a connotation for Atirudram, is actually a symbol of love. So putting, in fact, Swami is to give lingam to so many foreigners and never say, have follow a ritual. Swami used to say, put a spoon of water in and drink that water. Right? Why? Because putting a spoon of water on the lingam is only a form of saying, I love you, Swami. Nothing else. It's just a ritualistic way of saying, I love you, Swami. Because water symbolizes love. And linga symbolizes the sakara, nirakara, all pervasive aspect. In fact, the Rudram, the third thing that is chanted while Rudrabhishekam goes on is a Sri Rudram. And if you see in Sri Rudram, there is no description of any form. I bow down to the Lord who is in the thieves, I bow down to the Lord who is in the clouds, I bow down to the Lord who is in the green leaves. It goes on and on and on saying that God is everywhere. So Atirudram in a sense is a way to connect to our Swami who is everywhere. and connect through love. That is the meaning of Atirudram. And that is why, in fact, even in Sandhyavandanam is another way we give Tarpanam to Mother Gayatri. That is another way of saying, I love you, Mother. So it is only a question of constantly. So this aspect of Rudram, which is that all-pervasiveness and which allows us to connect to that all-pervasive divinity, is what we have to understand as the very explanation of Atirudra or Rudrabhishekam. And then moving on to other aspects of Rudram itself. Rudram, like in Swami's discourse, in Atirudram Swami had given, Rudram is generally understood as synonym to Lord Ishvara. In fact, it is the essence of all Vedas, namely Rig, Yajus, Sama and Atharvana Vedas. So Rudram is like the essence of everything. Knowing one mantram, we can connect to the divine. In fact, it is so powerful. I'll tell you one experience of ours. We were in 2008 or 9 when we started teaching and learning Rudram in Hyderabad youth. Just then, around the same time, there was floods in Karnool area. So terrible were the floods. In fact, when we went there, we thought we were at sea. There was no land seen. Where you see from the top of the lorries, everywhere it was water. So it was such, imagine midland having so much water. So it was really bad floods. And we didn't know what to do at being in Hyderabad. So all the youth decided we will do Rudraparayan. So night after the officers, everyone arrived at the Shivam. At 8 o'clock we started chanting Rudram. Because it takes 3.5 hours for Ekadashi Rudram. As we are chanting at 10 o'clock, we get a call from Srinivasan sir saying that Swami has instructed from Patti, Swami has instructed that all Hyderabad youth can go for Seva to that flood stricken area. We were the first ones to move there, and as we were going, this was my literally physical experience, we were chanting Rudram and going in the lorries. As we were moving, the rains were receding. It was literally as though we were pushing the clouds away. It was literally, we were going with Rudram chanting. It was as though we were going with something and pushing the clouds back. Where we moved, their rain stopped. And we were the first ones to reach with relief. Of course, there is Satisai operation standard. This is, we will be the first ones to reach the grief stricken, and we really were the first ones. And that time we really realized the power of Rudram, how impactful it is. In fact, very first time, this is another experience I should recall. First time we decided that we will do, we have one, I think it's still going on now also in Hyderabad, I'm not sure. But we used to do once every month. One Sunday is to have Ekadasa Rudra Parayana. And first time when we started, it was in April. In April at Hyderabad, no one can expect a rain. We finished the Atirudram, gave Arati, there was a downpour outside. Immediately. Proving that Swami was very, very happy. So Rudram, really, you just have to do it to see the power. It's enormous. That mantram, when it is chanted, even just as Parayana, not even as Abhishekam, just chanted together, that too in unison, it really kind of purifies the body. It has such multiple inner significance. In fact, Swami once told one of the devotees who then wrote to me, I have that notes, where Swami in the dream explained to him that whole of photosynthesis is there in Rudram. The detailed flow of electron from chlorophyll to cytochromes, and what is the color of the cytochromes, everything is described in Rudram. It's too lengthy, so that's why I did not bring it here. It becomes too very scientific, so I thought it may not connect to everybody here, but I have that notes with me. Similarly, there is a whole lot of explanation of Rudram for as a Ayurvedic treatise. Every sloka, every line of Rudram is actually a way of developing, making medication. So for each disease there is a solution. And how to make that solution, which plant to be taken. how to mix that plant, everything is hidden in this very same mantra. So it's a mantra which is, as I said right at the beginning, it has multiple meanings. We have to understand that. No single meaning is a complete meaning to it, and no single meaning is the only meaning that one individual can get. As we keep diving deeper and deeper into this, it will continue to, because that is the reason why Swami is to often, in fact, the Dasara itself, I think all of you know this, but for youngsters who do not know, it is the Rudrayagam. What is done, the Havan, is the mantra chanted there again is Rudram. So Rudram is the one, Rudram is the one which is given, Swami had given so much importance, and I think it is necessary. The reason Swami has given this importance and guided is because of his love for us, because of the present day negativity that is there. I think the only way we can really help or serve the society, that's why we should understand this, chanting is not only personal sadhana, it is seva. As good as going and doing Narayana Seva or some rural service, just chanting Rudram also is service, because it is through this we can ensure that we can purify the atmosphere and pray to the Lord who is everywhere to be beneficent towards all of us. And just one or two words on how to chant Vedam, because initially they said I should say something about it. So what I have learned from Swami's feet was, we used to, in fact, when we started chanting in 2003, I'll quickly tell this anecdote. We were chanting, because we have to chant continuously, we decided we'll chant Swasti. So two groups were there, we used to chant Swasti. Swami said, no Swasti, chant together. So first thing was gone, it was tough. And then added to that, Swami used to come and sit louder. Sit and say louder, chant louder, still louder. So much so that our voices used to go. Post chanting, we could not speak to each other because the vocal cords would have been completely used up by them. So that was the state, but the reason behind us, Swami is telling us to chant louder and louder and louder, is because Vedam, the sound, unlike light music, should come from Nabi. Light music can come from the mouth part, right? Whereas Vedam has to come from Nabi. And Vedam, therefore, when it is chanted from Nabi with full gusto, is like Trikarana Shuddhi. Your thought, word and deed gets into the chanting. So that is the only way we have to chant Vedam. While the Vak Shuddhi, the Mantra Shuddhi, the intonations, all that have to be there, the way it has to be chanted is that it has to come from Nabi. Another very important thing in Vedam is it's a group effort. We should never ever feel that it means, no, we have to be in consonance with the group. The way the group is chanting, you have to align yourself. So it also helps slowly to eradicate individual egos, whatever small or big they may be. We can get out of that because we have to be in a group, and it is a teamwork all along. And finally, I feel, because there's another very common fear among many, that if you chant Vedam without knowing properly, will it lead to some danger? My understanding and my submission is, if we do it as a worship to our Lord with only intention of pleasing Him, I don't think we need to worry too much about it, because unless we start chanting, we won't learn how to make ourselves better. It's like, unless, if you say I don't know swimming and therefore I want, till I know swimming I will not jump into the waters, you will never learn. So same way, if we say that unless I know I will not even start chanting, we will never learn chanting. We were all, in fact, that's what I started with, sir, taught us everything. We were never chanting properly. I don't think even, for myself, I may not be perfect even now. But unless we do it, we will not start becoming better and better and better. So I think if we do it as a worship to our Lord, He will take care of ensuring that there are no negative effects that come on us. And therefore, taking this as a thing, we should move forward. And finally, again, to close with the uniqueness of Rudram. Rudradhyayi, what I was saying, that Rudram is a community prayer. Rudradhyayi vaset yatra. Instead of going through everything, what I will say is, where Rudra, person who follows or chants Rudra or does the regular chanting of Rudra stays, there there won't be any kshuptibhasa, means hunger, or any durbhiksha, famine, or vyadhi, disease. So this is again to correlate or confirm the statement that Rudram is for community. And also Vedam chanting is so very beneficial. I will take this example. This is like an example for me, because we all saw him, Kamadhani Garu, 24, means all the time of his waking time, he used to be chanting. If you go to his room or wherever, he used to be down and be constantly, the manana of Vedam used to go on. And really, the blessing that he got, I don't think anybody else had. As long as he was there, he was the first one to take the first namaskar of the day from Bhagwan. He used to go up, have the namaskar, when Swami comes out of his bedroom, and then go back again into that, behind East Prashanti was his small room, he used to go back there and sit there and continue chanting. The reason Swami gave him this wonderful, and I also heard from senior devotees, he earlier few years, he also had an opportunity to chant Rudram outside when Swami was having bath inside. He was blessed so much that way. So the reason I think Swami gave him that, apart from other aspects of individual merit, because he was constant Vedadhyayi, Swami gave him that wonderful opportunity to convey a message to us that a constant Vedadhyayi is always closest to his heart. This is what we need to understand. A Vedadhyayi is closest to Bhagavan's heart. And therefore, that is the importance that Swami gives to Vedam. And we should learn from this. And finally, the last statement, that Veda is universal. While it's not to be, this I will not go through in detail, but the quotation is there. I leave this presentation also here with everyone. This quotation is from Bhagavan's discourse, where Swami said, Veda is not to be correlated with only Hinduism. It is meant for everyone. So with that, thank you all for giving me this wonderful opportunity.
As a part of today's Veda Jigyasa program, you have heard
an erudite talk by Dr. Anil Kumar Prithivanti, a former alumnus and a faculty member of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of High Learning Chemistry Department, speaking on the significance and efficacy of Vedas, which was delivered as a part of the Veda Poshana program conducted by the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organizations, Karnataka. With the humble prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall conclude today's class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram. Om Yadakshara Padabhrashtam Matra Heenantu Yad Bhavet Tat Sarvam Kshamyatam Deva Narayana Namostute Visargabindu Matrani Padapadaksharani Cha Nyunani Cha Tiriktani Kshamasvasaishvara Aparadha Sahasrani Kiyante Harnishanmaya Dasoyam Miti Mamatva Kshamasvasaishvara Anyadhasharanam Nasti Tvameva Sharanam Mama Tasmat Karunya Bhavena Raksharakshasaishvara Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Saishvara Arpanamastu. From a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari. Sairam, stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sairam, and happy listening.